Good morning and welcome to All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. Super to see you here on this bank holiday weekend. Today's Sunday, the 29th of August, 2021. It's good to be back with you after my summer holiday, and I hope you've been enjoying some sunshine, rest and relaxation over the last few weeks. Welcome, church family gathered here in the building. Welcome to those of you who are joining us online. It's great to have you with us. All that you need for the service can be found in a Bible, in today's notice sheet, and on the screen. And church Bibles are available under your chair. Today we're going to explore an interesting Bible passage in Paul's letter to the Colossian Christians. And here we get vital and potentially life-changing teaching to help us to navigate life. In our work, be it paid or voluntary, in our studies, in our service in church life, and in the everyday things that we do. So I hope that this will be helpful for you and a blessing. Let me start by reading a key verse from the passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. So that's going to be our focus for our time together. And let's come before God now and pray to him as we begin. A moment of quiet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a new day and the opportunity to gather together with your community. We focus on you as we begin. You made everything. You are the Lord and ruler of all. And we want to praise you for the salvation you give us through your Son, Jesus. As we come to think about our day-to-day lives, we open our hearts to you. Purify us, we pray. Shape us through your word, the Bible, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to know you and to know how to live for you in the ordinary activities of daily life, at work, at home, at school. So please lead us now and help us as we seek to worship you and to pray to you during this time. Amen. Some of you will have come this morning full of joy. Some of you may have come with sad and heavy hearts. So you may be carrying difficult burdens. Let's come before God now and look to him how we're feeling. And our opening worship hymn invites us to lift our eyes to the merciful God, to rejoice in him and to give him praise. Let's do that now as we sing, Come People of the Risen King. Will you please stand?
Shine.
Heavenly Father, yes, we look to you now and we praise you. We celebrate you. You are the great God, worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship. And we pray that you would help us now in this time. We come seeking you, Lord. For those who are heavy-hearted, Lord, would you lift our burdens? For those full of joy, Father, we thank you and rejoice in that, Lord. We pray you'd energize us to serve you and to live for you. Amen. Do please sit down. We're going to continue in prayer as we prepare to seek God's forgiveness for our sins. The words of today's confession prayer are on page 2 of the notice sheet and will also appear on the screen. So in a moment of quiet, let's seek God and ask him to show us where we've sinned, where we've gone wrong, and then we can bring these things to him in prayer, asking for forgiveness. So a moment of quiet. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. We pray together. Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, we confess to you, I confess with my whole heart, my neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, my wrongdoing, thinking, and speaking, the hurts I have done to others, and the good I have left undone. O God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and raise me to newness of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's pray together the collect prayer for today on page 4. This is a wonderful prayer about reconciliation with God through Christ. And in this prayer, we're going to ask God to help us to proclaim his message and to ask that people will be drawn to him as we do this. So let's pray together. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you. Through him who was lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, welcome to those of you who've come in since the beginning of the service. Great to see you. Over the next couple of Sundays, we'll be looking to strengthen and to rebuild our church community as we head into the autumn term. The All Saints Club has been online for the last academic year, meeting during the afternoon, and I'm pleased to say that from next Sunday, we begin again with the groups meeting during this 10 a.m. morning service. So that's really good news. Children and young people aged 4 to 16 will begin in the main service and then head across to the John Owen Barn for their groups. Our autumn teaching focus for Sundays and growth groups begins next weekend, entitled The Message of the Cross. And over the coming weeks, we're going to explore the depths of the Bible's teaching about Jesus' death on the cross, looking at passages of scripture from the Old and the New Testament. We'll be exploring the meaning of big Bible words like justification, adoption, redemption, and atonement. So I hope that it'll be a really enriching time for us, wherever you are on your faith journey. be an opportunity to grow as we seek to know Jesus and to make him known together. Then on Sunday, the 12th of September, we have a celebration Sunday at the John Owen Barn. We'll begin with an all-age service, and that'll be followed by garden games on the field, and then a bring and share meal together. So hope that'll be a really good time for us to spend enjoying one another's company. I'll give some more notices at the end of the service, but now it's time for our Bible reading from Colossians chapter 3, and Martin Legood's going to come and read that for us.
Yes, the Bible reading is Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 17, can be found on page 1184 of the Pew Bibles, but it's also on page 2 of the notice sheet. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favouritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Whatever you do, whoever you are, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 to chapter 4, verse 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and our desire is to understand the meaning of this Bible passage. And we pray for the gift of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring it home to our hearts. Please change us and shape us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's Bible reading helps us to think about being fruitful for God in the things that we do each week, the ordinary things in an ordinary week. The holiday period will soon be over, and schools will be returning over the coming days. So I want you to think about the things that you do in the shop where you work, or the business that you run, or the school where you are employed. I want you to think about the assignments that you do in your school or university, where you're a student. I want you to think about the jobs that you do in the house and garden. We're thinking about the ordinary, everyday things and what the Bible has to teach us about them. And today's Bible passage, in today's Bible passage, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in the town of Colossae, chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's the first of my 3 points for today. And there's a little plan for that in the service sheet, I think on page 4 or 5. So whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The amazing thing about this instruction for the Christian disciple is that Paul is talking about everything that you do, whatever you do. He isn't just teaching us about what to do in church or in the youth group or in whatever religious things you do. No, he's saying that whatever you do in life, you should do it in the name of Jesus. Doing something in the name of Jesus simply means doing it in a way that honors Jesus. Doing it in a way that fits with who Jesus is as the Lord of the universe. It's similar to the prayer, "Hallowed be your name," in the Lord's Prayer. We want Jesus' name to be honored in the way that we live. And here's a question for you to think about as we begin. What activities are not included in this verse? I'm not going to ask you to answer this out loud. Just have a think for a moment. Which activities are not included in this verse? Well, it cannot mean immoral or ungodly activities, things which the Bible teaches as being displeasing to God. These things are not included in the whatever, because you can't do those kinds of things that displease God for Jesus Christ in his name, can you? So, for example, thinking about the Ten Commandments, you cannot worship an idol in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you cannot dishonor your parents in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can't do that. You cannot steal or commit adultery or murder someone in the name of the Lord Jesus, can you? But across the vast canvas of life, we are to do all morally neutral things in the name of Jesus Christ. So you're to refill the photocopier with a fresh supply of paper and a new ink cartridge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're to do the tasks that your parents ask you to do around the house in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you play sport on a sports team, you're to play in the name of the Lord Jesus in a way which would bring honor to him. God wants us to be fruitful in the ordinary small things of life. And this is important teaching because many Christians divide reality into church activities on one hand, and on the other, kind of regular life activities. Sometimes it's called a sacred secular divide. So Christians have one set of rules for their life in church and another set of rules for what we might call normal life. But this verse shows that dividing your life in that way is a false division. Paul says, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, with a heart that is thankful to God. We're not to compartmentalize our lives in that way. Living for Jesus is a seven-day-a-week way of life. It's a 365-day-a-year lifestyle. Now, hearing this is difficult. Not just difficult for you, but difficult for me as well. It's difficult because it's challenging. And because it's difficult, some Christians like to make it easier by just shrinking down the area of life where we need to be doing things in Jesus' name. It's easier if we only have to obey God's word on certain days of the week or in certain places. And then the rest of the time, well, we can live like everybody else. But that's not the way it is in the Christian life. Notice in verse 17 that it's in word and in deed. This means that all the things you say should be in the name of the Lord Jesus, and all the things you do should be in his name. The verse finishes by saying that we should give thanks to God the Father in everything we do. And that's such a good reminder, isn't it? I'm always find myself needing to be reminded of the importance of thankfulness. It makes life so much more enjoyable and livable to have a thankful attitude. So firstly, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Further on in the passage, in verses 23 and 24, Paul says the same thing again, whatever you do, But in these verses, he expands on the meaning of verse 17. So let's have a look at that. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. And this is my second point for today. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Verses 23 and 24 give Christians two special motivations for the things we do every day. At the office, at the swimming pool, at Sainsbury's, at university, at a place where you volunteer. Christians have two motivators that the rest of humanity don't have. And these help us particularly with things that we don't really like doing or perhaps don't want to do. In whatever you're doing, get clear that Jesus is your real boss. Jesus is the real master. So we all have bosses who give us tasks to do. Some of you will have a paid job with a line manager. They give you work to do. Perhaps you don't like some of it. Reorganizing the tools in the workshop, cleaning the coffee area, producing an extra spreadsheet, a particularly difficult shift pattern. Those of you who live at home with your parents, well, they give you tasks to do, don't they? Those of you studying at school, your teachers give you pieces of work to do. When we're given tasks that we don't want to do, we want to know what the Christian way is. What's the way of Jesus? And Paul's advice is very specific. He tells you to look beyond the earthly boss who's given you the task, be that your manager at work or your mum or dad or your teacher at school. Look beyond them and do the task for your true heavenly boss, Jesus Christ. Verse 23 again. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Do you see that? Can you see that in the verse? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It could be organizing the laundry, fixing something that's broken, a geography assignment. Whatever it is, you have another higher boss. That's the first motivation. The second motivation is that we have the reward of an inheritance with God to look forward to. Work at it with all your heart, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. This is a motivating reward that Christians have to look forward to. Other people don't have this reward ahead of them. The reward for their work is only in this life, only a financial reward now, only praise for a job well done now. And this means that work, whatever kind of work we're talking about, is fundamentally different for Christians. There's a future inheritance for us to look forward to, an inheritance with God in his coming kingdom. And that really changes things. When you serve faithfully, even in small tasks, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that you're serving. And he holds out the promise of reward for you. Now, this is amazing and actually very deep in its implications. As J.B. Lightfoot notes, if you're not properly rewarded for your work in this life, then you still have a master in heaven who will recompense you in the future. We don't need to get it all now. That's the big difference. And in these verses, we find a theology for doing the washing up. So is this your mindset? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. I've been challenged by this passage as I've prepared it. I mean, Jesus is clearly my Lord. I live that way, but I don't really think of him as a kind of boss beyond earthly bosses. Very helpful, simple yet profound passage. I'm going to give you, I'm going to pause for a moment, give you an opportunity to chat for a few minutes with someone sitting near you now. Here's a question for you to discuss. How can you put this biblical command into practice? So I'll give you a couple of minutes. Halfway through, I'll invite you to switch over so that both of you can have a chance to share something. And I do appreciate this may be uncomfortable for some of you, so no pressure. You're welcome to just sit there quietly and to ponder the question on your own. Okay, time to switch over and give the other person a go. Okay, do please draw those conversations to a close. Great to hear you chatting. And maybe you can carry on talking about this subject when we have tea and coffee, which will be served in the churchyard just after the service. So on to our third and final point for today. Whoever you are, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. What makes this teaching particularly amazing is the context into which Paul originally wrote nearly 2,000 years ago. Paul gives this advice in verse 22 to slaves. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Now, the mention of slavery in the Bible makes many of us tense up. It's an awkward topic. At the time when Paul wrote, slaves made up a very large part of the workforce and population. Having slaves working in a Greco-Roman household at that time was just entirely normal. And in some households, you'd have a Christian master of the house, and some of the slaves would be Christians. And they might go to the same church. So think of the church in Colossae. You probably did have households there where it was a Christian family, and some of the slaves in the household were also Christians. When we think of slavery today, we tend to think of the kidnapping of Africans and their abusive transportation to America. Or you might think of modern slavery, particularly of women being trafficked for immoral work. The Bible speaks very strongly against kidnapping, because to kidnap someone is to steal a human made in God's image. But there were other forms of slavery in Bible times which were not based on kidnapping, such as when somebody fell into poverty and sold themselves for 7 years to work as a slave. And this was a form of social provision that kept people from starvation. In the context of the whatever you do command, Paul writes to different members of a typical household at the time. And it's there in verse 18. So he writes to wives and husbands, children, fathers, and slaves. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they may become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you. So what we see is, whoever you are, whatever your status, whether you're male or female, parent or child, wife or husband, slave or free, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. And Paul gives this motivational advice to slaves. Now, he could have written to the slaves, in reality, Jesus is your king, and he's the one you serve. Therefore, it doesn't matter how you serve your earthly master. Slavery is corrupt. So act grumpy towards your master and do the minimum. He could have said that, couldn't he? You could see the logic of it with Jesus being the real master, but he doesn't. No, Paul says to the slave, obey your earthly masters in everything. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Now that is amazing and countercultural teaching, isn't it? The promise of an inheritance was particularly important for a slave at that time, because under Roman law, slaves could never inherit anything in this life. Slave owners could be good and kind, or they might be mean and harsh. Just like today, you might have a good boss or a bad boss. So this word for us is that even when we have a mean or difficult boss, we can really be serving Jesus Christ in the things that we're asked to do. And this is a wonderful truth. It's a liberating truth, because we know that this life is not the end. We don't have to get it all now. Now, if we get hung up on the slavery, I think we miss the point for us. We no longer work as slaves in Britain. Slavery in Roman culture was legal. It's, of course, illegal in the UK. We work for employers. We're free to work for who we like. We have rights and privileges in our work contracts. We can choose what kind of school we send our children to. So I think the application of these verses must be, well, if it was like that for slaves, how much more is it like that for us as free citizens? That we should work at whatever we do with all of our heart for the Lord. Even slave work was to be done by Christian disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we have the privilege of being able to choose our work, how much more should we work for the Lord Jesus and for the reward that he offers, the reward beyond our employer? So this teaching, therefore, applies to us, whoever we are, whatever work we do, and whatever our status in life, wife or husband, son or daughter, father, slave, employer, employee. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've come to the end of this talk. Let me give a summary, just in conclusion. As the new term begins and we start to move into the autumn, let's look to work for Jesus as our true master. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Whoever you are, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, verses 23 and 24 are a real fridge magnet verses, aren't they? Worthy of learning by heart. And so let's finish by having a go at memorizing these verses. I'll say each line, and then please repeat it out loud after me. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Well done, everyone. Now, I'm not very good at memory verses, not very good at learning them, so I have to work quite hard at them. I encourage you maybe to have a go at this at home, but let's just say it all together one more time. If you're good at this kind of thing, maybe you can not look at the screen, see how much you can remember. So let's say it together. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Well, that's great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth. It's simple and it's very challenging. And so we pray for your grace in our lives, that you would deepen our understanding of this so that more areas and activities in our lives would be lived under your rule, working for you. We pray that you guide us in the things we say and the things we do, that we might do them all in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we've just heard the wonderful promise of an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. And with this promise in our minds, I invite you to stand and sing, "I'll stand on every promise of his word."
From setting of the sun. I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to save that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. When I stumble and I sin, condemnation pressing in, I will stand on every promise of your word. You are faithful to forgive, that in freedom I might live. So I stand on every promise of your word. Guilt to innocence restored, you remember sins no more. So I stand on every promise of your word. Choice, I will listen for your voice, and I'll stand on every promise of your word. Through this dark and troubled land, you will guide me with your hand, as I stand on every promise of your word. You promise to complete every work begun in me. So I stand on every promise of your word.
as we worship God together, let's declare our faith using the words of the historic Apostles' Creed. People of God, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do please sit down, and Nick and Ali Brett are going to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, as we come together this Sunday morning to hear your word and worship you, we thank you that we can at last be together. We thank you for the technology and expertise of Julian, which helps to reach those who are listening at home. We pray for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world and hold them and their families up to you, that they seek your support through prayer, worship, and scripture. We thank you for our faithful Queen and pray for the Prime Minister and government alongside him. We pray for wisdom in their decisions in leading the country. We raise up the situation in Afghanistan, the terrifying reports of terrorism and death, and we pray for the troops who have been called to attend. We thank you for their courage and focus to save the innocent. And we lift up each and every soldier and their families to you, that now and in the months to come, they have peace in their hearts and any trauma subsides. We pray for the safety of Christians living in Afghanistan. We can't begin to imagine their fear. Pray that they recall the Psalms with the knowledge that you protected David in war and heard his pleas. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies, destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. As our Lord Jesus instructed us to pray for our enemies, we raise them up to you. We have no words, but pray that you will intercede for us in this terrifying situation. We thank you for the international COVID vaccine program and pray for ongoing research and information to reassure those who are at high risk of severe illness, but still concerned about its safety and effectiveness. And as the schools and universities start the new term next week, we pray for people to comply with the safety rules to prevent further harm and spread. We pray for students to settle into their new academic year, making new friends with enthusiasm to learn. And we pray for the teachers to have a renewed energy after the summer break. And we pray that your hand and your blessing would be on these things, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the sermon today, reminding us of Paul's letter, that whatever we do in our daily lives, in thoughts, words, and behavior, that we live in your name wholeheartedly, giving thanks. Thank you that you know everything about us. You know our individual struggles and sins. We say sorry for turning away and thank you that you forgive us. Pray that through our message today, we work for you, Lord, not our worldly masters, managers, or idols. We pray that you keep us safe from the sacred secular divide that keeps us from this that keeps us from you, and pray for opportunities in our daily lives and relationships with our friends, families, and colleagues to be true to you. Thank you for the promise of the reward of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for Francis and Georgina, lay preachers, the PCC, office staff, and all volunteers who have ensured that your word is heard. Pray that the coming months will be encouraging and positive as we re-establish the life of the church as further lockdown rules lift. We thank you for the continued support with our community hub and the walking group. We pray for folks to come together and understand more about you through this healthy way of reaching out to our friends and neighbours. We pray for peace and comfort for those known to us who are ill in body, mind, and spirit, and those grieving the loss of loved ones. We take a moment to say their names in our hearts and raise them up to you. We pray for the week ahead as we reflect on today's sermon. Pray that you fill us with the Holy Spirit, open our eyes and ears to hear you. Give us wisdom in our thoughts, conversations, decisions, and behavior to glorify you and have joy in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's close now by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Our final hymn celebrates God's undeserved grace for us, grace given when we first come to Christ, grace that teaches us to fear God, grace that keeps us believing through the dangers and snares of life. Will you please stand to sing Amazing Grace?
Thank you.
Do please sit down. We're coming towards the end of our time together. Do please stay for refreshments and community time out in the churchyard. Tea and coffee will be served out there. I think there's some biscuits as well. Next Sunday, we have two services, 10 a.m. here at Fordham, and then 11:30, Holy Communion at Atash Green. I'll be giving the same sermon at both, introducing the Message of the Cross series. Now, during the last 18 months, we've only had a couple of services at Atash Green, in the Atash Green building. So please do pray for us as we seek to begin that again. We're going to be returning to live accompaniment to our singing for the first time in the church, well, in both churches, God willing, next Sunday, and would appreciate your prayers for that change as well. Now's a great time to join a growth group. These are small groups where you can get to know others in the church family, connect, study the Bible in community, and pray for one another. If you're interested in joining a group, please contact Keith Hodges, the coordinator. He's serving refreshments today, or you can also contact the church office. Colin Taylor, the minister of Holy Trinity Church in Felsted, invites us to join them for a church away day next Saturday, 4th of September. It runs from 10 a.m. to about 6-ish. There's going to be a barbecue from 4 p.m. Teaching from Ephesians by Lee Gatiss. Creche and children's groups for 0 to 12-year-olds. And then activities in the afternoon. There are some details in the notice sheet. I'm going, and it'd be really great if you could join me. This is a good opportunity to connect with other Christians from like-minded churches in the Renew Network. And a number of churches in the region have been invited to attend. It's a bargain at just £5 a head. And the booking deadline is this Wednesday, the 1st of September. You book online through Eventbrite, and there's a link in the notice sheet. If you're new to us, we're very pleased to see you. We have a welcome card. It's a green card, which is available from the table at the back. Do fill that in. That enables us to add you to our weekly email list and to have our details so that we can be in touch with you. Please join me to pray online this Thursday at our monthly prayer focus evening. We're going to be praying together for the rebuilding of our church community in this new season, for UCCF, and particularly for the Christian Union at Essex University as they seek to begin their new term after, obviously, a very strange year for them. We'll be praying for freshers as well as they join the university. And we'll be praying for the election of godly people to the Church of England's General Synod. General Synod runs in blocks of 5 years, and a term of 5 years has just finished. And these elections are going to be particularly important with the future direction of the church. So very important that we pray for godly people to stand for posts and to be elected. And I will email the Zoom link out next Wednesday. Let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, as we go into a new week, we ask for your grace to enable us to work for the Lord Jesus with all our heart, whatever we are doing. And may God the Holy Trinity make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.